Everybody has text 51. Strinam mat hatabandhunam. Strinang mat hatabandhunam. Droha yaha asau iha utitaha. Droho yosav ihotitaha. Karmabhihi grihamedhiyahi karmabhir grihamedhiyair na aham kalpaha vyapohitum naham kalpo vyapohitum strinang madhata bandhunang droho yosavihotitaha karmabhir grihamedhiyair naham kalpo vyapohitum strinang madhata bandhunang droho yosavihotitaha karmabhir grihamedhiyair naham kalpo vyapohitum srinang madhata bandhunam droho yosavihotitaha Please repeat. I have killed many friends of women.
I have killed many friends of women.
And I have thus caused enmity.
And I have thus caused enmity.
To such an extent that it is not possible.
To such an extent that it is not possible.
To undo it by material welfare work.
To undo it by material welfare work.
Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The Grihamedhis are those whose only business is to perform welfare work for the sake of material prosperity. Such material prosperity is sometimes hampered by sinful activities, for the materialist is sure to commit sins, even unintentionally, in the course of discharging material duties. To get relief from such sinful reactions, the Vedas prescribe several kinds of sacrifices. It is said in the Vedas that by performing the Ashvamedha Yajna, horse sacrifice, one can get relief from even Brahmahatya, killing of a Brahmana. Yudhishthira Maharaj performed this Ashvamedha Yajna, but he thinks that even by performing such yajnas, it is not possible to get relief from the great sins committed. In war, either the husband or the brother, or even the father or sons go to fight. And when they are killed, a fresh enmity is created, and thus a chain of actions and reactions increases, which it is not possible to be counteracted even by thousands of Ashvamedha yajnas. The way of work, karma, is like that. It creates one action and another reaction simultaneously, and thus increases the chain of material activities, binding the performer in material bondage. In the Bhagavad Gita 9:27-28, the remedy is suggested that such action and reactions of the path of work can be checked only when work is done on behalf of the Supreme Lord. The Battle of Kurukshetra was actually fought by the will of the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna, as it is evident from his version, and only by his will was Yudhishthira placed on the throne of Hastinapur. Therefore, factually, no sin whatsoever touched the Pandavas, who were only the order carriers of the Lord. For others who declare war out of personal interest, the whole responsibility lies on them. Vandeham Sri Guru, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare. Strinang madhata bandhunang droho yo sav ihotitaha karmabhir grihamed hi yair nahang kalpo vipohitam. I I have killed many friends of women, and I have thus caused enmity to such an extent that it is not possible to undo it by material welfare work. So, Srila Prabhupada's talking here about those who perform welfare work for the sake of material prosperity. There's two paths mentioned, basically two paths of spiritual advancement. One path is the path of progressive material prosperity and elevation in the mode of goodness by performing fruitive activities to obtain some material result, like higher birth. Yamimang pushpitang vacham pravadantya vipaschitaha. Krishna describes those as being not fully, those who advance this path, attracted by the flowery language of the Vedas, he calls them Vedavadaratas. And they say there's nothing other than this. He describes them as being not fully complete in their knowledge and their realization. In one sense, material prosperity is an oxymoron. There is material prosperity, but without Krishna, then you're bereft of everything. So that prosperity is the illusory prosperity, right? The reflection which appears to be in darkness. We said this morning, real prosperity means you see that it's a reflection of Krishna. You can see the material world, you can see its connection to Krishna. But when you forget the connection with Krishna, when you're not offering it to Krishna, if you think that there's anything valuable, then you're in illusion. And anything that's not connected to Krishna is not valuable. Rather, it appears to be in darkness. It's not really in darkness because it really is connected to Krishna, but it appears to be in darkness. And it's a reflection. These things are reflections. Material nature is created by Krishna, but it's different. It has that different, it acts differently. We have to be very careful when dealing with it. If we can learn by the instructions of the spiritual master to offer everything to Krishna, then it becomes spiritualized. It becomes prasadam, right? When we offer something to Krishna, it becomes spiritualized. We can offer our own bodies to Krishna, and they become spiritualized, and they become able to act. When you put a rod in a fire, it becomes able to act like fire. It becomes fireized. It gets red hot, and it gives off heat, and it gives off light, just like a fire does. So Krishna is the original fire, and we're all little sparks of that fire, and as long as we stay in the fire, we can act like the fire. But when we go out of the fire, seeking our fame and fortune elsewhere, then very soon we're extinguished. So we were talking the other day about how Bhaktisiddhanta says in the purport in the Nectar of in the Brahma Samhita, that the deluding energy of Krishna actually propagates the Vedic knowledge throughout the world. It's a strange statement. We can't blaspheme the Vedas. The Vedas are the breathing of the Lord Himself. They're given as the instructions of the universe, that come with the instructions of the universe. But the fruitive ritualistic activities offered in the Vedas are far inferior and not in the same category as the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, the activities of devotional service. They're not in the same category. One can perform those activities for the sake of devotional service. One can perform the similar activities, material fruit of work, according to one's occupation, according to one's duties, but offering the results to Krishna, doing everything for Krishna, is the sure way out of the entanglements in material nature. Whereas to do them for some material purpose, to get higher birth, wealth, You know, Yamimang Pushputang Bachang Prabhadantya Vipashitaha Veda Vataritak Parta Nanya Dastiti Bhavanaha Karmatmanang Swarga Pra, Heavenly Planets. Yeah, what is it? 240. 240. No, it's 242, 243 actually.
242, okay.
Bhogaishvarya Gatin Prati.
Men of small knowledge are very much attached to the flowery words of the Vedas, which recommend various fruitful activities for relation to heavenly planets, resulted good birth, power, and so forth. Being desirous of sense gratification and opulent life, they say there is nothing more than this.
So if one performs the rituals, just like Yudhishthira Maharaj was a pure devotee, but he formed these rituals, performed rituals for the sake of giving example. But if one performs them in order to achieve these things, bhoga aishvara, then one doesn't get out, one stays entangled. As Srila Prabhupada is explaining here, the way of work is like that. There's sure to be mistakes. When one performs material activities, one is sure to commit some sins, even if one is trying to do everything perfectly. Eventually one commits some sins. If you do too many horse sacrifices, then Indra gets nervous that his position, he's known as the one who did 100. So he's afraid you'll take over his position. Yes?
There's a similar example like King Narada, and he's doing this
charity.
Yeah, and then he takes birth as a lizard. He takes birth as a lizard. I thought there's a similar example.
Yes, it's a very good example. Thank you for bringing up. And because King Nriga was doing pious activities, he was a great pious king and also a devotee, and he was giving millions of cows away in charity. But even though his intentions were so good, some mistake happened. That is, one of the cows that he gave to one Brahmin, it wandered away from its flock, from its herd, and it went into the herd of another Brahmin. So the two Brahmins started fighting. And the king went there and he said, No, I had originally given it to this Brahmin. But for the other one, I'll give you another 100,000 cows, another million cows. Please don't be disturbed. But the Brahmin, somehow, irrationally, he was very sensitive about this. No, you've already given it to me. It was in my flock. I won't be satisfied by another 1,000. I want that cow. And the other Brahmin was also disturbed. No, you had first given it to me. How can you give it to him? Because he said, I'll give you a million cows. No, you have to do it. So somehow or another, no matter how hard we try, we try to be so good, but no matter how hard we try, the way of material life is that you can't do anything perfectly without the mercy of Krishna, without doing it for the benefit of Krishna. Then when you do everything for the benefit of Krishna, you can take shelter of the divine energy, and things can be done very perfectly. So there are many rituals offered in the Vedas as fruitive activities, karmakanda, on the path of work. And these rituals, they really do work. They do elevate you to higher planets and so forth. Opulence, you enjoy sense enjoyment, material enjoyment and opulence. And you get all these benefits. But those benefits themselves, what good are they? They're temporary. From the highest planet to the lowest planet, each is a place of misery wherein repeated birth and death take place. And those who follow the Trividya Mang Somapak Puta Papa Yagyarishtra Swargatin Prartayante Tripunya Mahasadhyaya, 920, I think. Tripunya Mahasadhyaya, Shloka book. All right, then I'll have to remember it. Who has the Gita? Nanti Divyan Divideva Bhogan. Right?
Those who study the Vedas.
One, they. Tate Bungtam Swargat. Swargalokang Vishala. 920 and 921. They're not in this shloka book. Kshine Punye Marti Lokang Vishanti.
Devam Trai Dharmam. Anuprapana Gatagatam Kama Kama Labante.
And the translation is, when they have thus enjoyed vast heavenly sense pleasure and the results of their pious activities are exhausted, they return to this mortal planet again. Thus those who seek sense enjoyment by adhering to the principles of the three Vedas achieve only repeated birth and death.
And the next verse, everyone knows, probably 23. Ananyas chintayanto mang yajanan paripashate tishan yogakshemam yuktanam yogakshemam
vahami aham. But those who have always worshipped me with exclusive devotion, meditating on my transcendental form, to them I carry what they lack and I preserve what they have.
So I said before, there were two paths. One is Pravritti Marga, and the other is called Nivritti Marga. And Lord Krishna is making a distinction here in the ninth chapter between those two paths. The path of devotional service is the path of renunciation of material enjoyment, and rather acceptance of devotional service as our own only highest good. Our only self-interest is really to please Krishna. And they don't have to worry about those who take to that path. They don't have to worry about where their material enjoyment is going to come from. They don't have to worry about where their material prosperity is coming from. If they take correctly to offering everything to Krishna, he takes care of them, and they get something much higher than material opulence. They don't care so much about material opulence, but he takes care of them. So Srila Prabhupada, in this purport, Prabhupada refers to texts 27 and 28. And before looking it up, who can say what text 27 is? 927. 20 points. Yat tapasasi kaunteya. So Krishna advises this, whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you chat, whatever, you know, activities you perform, like pious activities, like giving away charity, like King Nriga was giving charity. Oh, I didn't finish the story of King Nriga, that he made a mistake, that there was inevitable a mistake in his material fruit of pious activities, his charity. But he was so pious, and because he was also a devotee, that he had to get some reaction for this mistake of giving the same cow twice, but he also got a great benefit. So he was able to decide which to take first, his punishment or his reward. So like all great souls, he said, I'll take the punishment first. And then he was, Yamaraj sent him to become a big lizard in a well. But then the reward was that Krishna came there with the cowherd boys and touched him with his lotus feet. And then he came out of the well and got the association of Lord Krishna, got the touch of Krishna's lotus feet. So, yat tapasya si, what tapasya also you do. And often people who are concerned about having committed some material mistake, they undertake a process of atonement by performing some tapasya. This is also prescribed. It's called prayaschitta. That when you've done something wrong, Just like you have to be punished, right? And if you voluntarily accept some punishment, oh, I'm an offender. So that's a sign of knowing how the material world works, how the material nature works. And there are prescriptions in the Vedas for atonement for sinful activities so that you don't have to suffer the reaction of taking birth in some miserable lifetime. Instead, you can undergo a ritual of atonement, fasting. There are different kinds of austerities like sitting in cold water or standing in the heat of the sun that yogis perform to become detached from material, from their material senses. But in the sixth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, King Parikshit Maharaj asks about this. And Shukadev tests him a little bit and talks to him about atonement. But then later, Shukadev admits King Parikshit was smart enough to understand this process of atonement being another material process is just like the elephant taking a bath. That he takes a bath in the water, then he goes on the sand and he takes the same kind of bath with the dust. So if you simply are going through trying to perform material activities and then to make atonements for your mistakes in your material activities, then you're no more intelligent than the elephant taking a bath. The same process by which you cleanse yourself of the fruitive reactions to, rather the sinful reactions, is the process by which you got the reactions in the first place. That is, you're engaged in material rituals, materialistic fruitive activity. But the process of devotional service, of chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, is completely pure. It's completely different from fruitive activities. It's not like taking a bath like an elephant and then going and taking a bath. It actually destroys the seed of sinful activity because it goes to the very heart of it destroys the problem of all the jivas in condition in the material world are that they've for a very long time, since time immemorial, they're caught up in this idea of thinking that their welfare lies in achieving Bhogaishwarya, right? Opulence, sense enjoyment, better birth, heavenly planets, beauty, wealth, education, all these things. If they can achieve material things, if they can improve their material situation, then they'll be happy. This is the seed of everything. And the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra comes from totally outside the universe, from the spiritual world, and it comes in it destroys that. It fries that seed so it won't sprout again. You can burn down a forest, but only the tops, what's above the ground, burns. And what's underneath the ground, it remains. And when the rains come again, the plants will sprout again. But the devotional service, it changes the heart. It changes that desire, very deep in the heart, the seeds of the sins, which are born along with material activity. So it burns the seeds underneath the soil so that nothing will grow again, no more material activity will grow again. And in its place grows this pure devotional service. So, text 28, Shubha Shubha Palayarevam. Okay, what's text 28? Sannyasa Yoga Yuktatma Upaishati. Read the whole one, the whole verse, because I skipped a line. Shubha Shubha Palayarevam Mokshase Karma Bandhanai Sannyasa Yoga Yuktatma.
Sannyasa Yoga Yuktatma Vimokta Mam Upasyasi. In this way, you'll be freed from bondage to work and its auspicious and inauspicious results. With your mind fixed on me in this principle of renunciation, you will be liberated and come to me.
So Prabhupada is referring to these two verses here that distinguishes. We talked earlier this morning, we were talking, Prabhuji was mentioning how Mahanidhi Swami is talking about the eighth offense, to consider chanting Hare Krishna to be a kind of material fruit of activity like the Grihamedis perform. But actually, it's something completely different. It comes from the Goloka. It is the natural, original activity of the spirit soul. And if we, as we chant it, then gradually our creeper of devotional service grows into a tree that pierces through the coverings of the universe and bears fruit at the lotus feet of Krishna in Krishna Loka. And so Maharaj Yudhisthira was indirectly teaching all these things in his lamentation that was arranged by Krishna. He's lamenting, although he committed, as said in the purport, he committed no sin. Krishna clearly explained in Bhagavad Gita that he wanted the war to go on. He told Arjuna that Arjuna was only acting as his instrument, but that by previous arrangement, he had killed all the warriors already. He had killed, Krishna had killed them. So there certainly was no sin involved there. Although an ordinary king who goes to war has to suffer if he goes to war for some material reason, not just to please Krishna. There are so many sinful reactions attendant on that, and to show the example that someone should be repentant, people should, because the demoniac people, the atheistic people, demoniac people in general, they don't feel sorry for the mistakes they do perform. They generally don't have that quality of introspection where they think that I may have done something wrong. Instead, when it's pointed out that they did something wrong, then they say, oh no, everything is arranged by nature. It's all just going on. In the Bhagavatam, that happens a lot of times, that the atheists like Hiranyakashipu, they know also about the three modes of nature. Some of these great, because Hiranyakashipu is a great personality that is playing the role of a demon for Krishna's pleasure. So they can, even in their own words, they can speak Vedic philosophy, deep philosophy of how reactions are going on. But they don't take any responsibility for the wrong actions they perform. But they get easily get angry at others, even for doing good actions. But the devotees have the opposite mood, and sometimes, as an example, Krishna puts them in this mood that even when they're blameless, they're for the sake of getting proper instruction, like Yudhisthira Maharaj is here, even though he's blameless, he's showing an example of how an ordinary man should be very concerned, having been the cause of killing so many people. Although he wasn't really the cause. He was just the instrument of Krishna. So he wasn't the cause. But then he's teaching us here the futility of even material, you know, pious Vedic acts that are there, like Ashwamedha Yajnas. Of course, no one today can perform an Ashwamedha Yajna anyway. You have to be a big opulent king like they had in previous ages to actually perform these rituals correctly. You have to have great priests that are able to do everything correctly. But even these performances in which the demigods would come and so many things would happen, but if they're not pure devotional service, they're of a different character. And that pure devotional service is easily, in this Kali Yuga, we always say, Kalair dosha nidhe rajan astiheka mahadgunan kirtanadeva krishnasya muktasanga parangbrajet. That in this age of Kali, although there's so many faults, the whole world is topsy-turvy, social relations are all mixed up, and people are short-lived and lazy and misguided and unlucky, and everyone is very quarrelsome, and they're always irritating each other. Even little things irritate them, and it's very difficult to concentrate and get things done nicely. And in previous ages, people lived a long time and they could just meditate for thousands of years. They could even hold their breath for thousands of years and sit underwater while they meditated. We hear these descriptions of sages from previous ages. But we live in cities and we have all these labor-saving devices that are always tormenting us. You know, we get the new technology for our computer and then it doesn't work right and it crashes the whole computer and you spend all day on tech support. And the phones, see, on cue, the phones are always ringing and someone's always... Yes?
The
microphone.
The Nirga story was enacted in a place in Dwarka, and there's a pond there, and where Nirga story, Lord Krishna and Nirga story, it's actually situated in Dwarka.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I said Cowherd Boys, and then I thought afterwards, and I said, is that right? So when did...
No, it's when his sons were playing in the forest.
Oh, so his Krishna's sons were playing. And, you know, all these... In the Kali Yuga, things are all... It's very difficult to get any peace of mind. It's difficult to get justice in the court, Srila Prabhupada said. Unless you have any money, unless you have a lot of money, you can't get justice in the court. So all these things are going on, but by sitting here and talking about Srimad Bhagavatam, by talking about King Nriga, and by going out and trying to offer people this literature, and by chanting like the devotees went out last night, I'm sorry I wasn't with you, I missed it, but by chanting the holy names of Krishna, one can actually very easily connect to that devotional service, which is our pranadhan, it's our lifeline, it's our treasure of our breath, of our life air, it's and our eternal occupation, our actual real Sanatana Dharma. So that chanting of Hare Krishna, this Sankirtan movement that Srila Prabhupada has given us the opportunity to participate in should not be confused with material piety. It's something much, much higher, much, much different. Even the material mode of goodness, if it's not connected to Krishna, it's not at all attractive to a devotee. So this is coming from the pure goodness platform where Krishna himself manifests. And that's where we go out today and we offer this Krishna consciousness to people. We're actually engaging in this different kind of yajna, this devotional service. We have to perform yajna, we have to perform austerity, but our austerities are not so difficult. We don't have to sit up to our neck in ice-cold water. We just have to follow the four regular principles and chant 16 rounds every day, and takes a little determination. Actually, it's... In some previous age, if you said, oh, I'm doing this austerity, I'm waking up at 4 in the morning and going to Arctic, they would say, what austerity is that? That's pleasant, you know. That's pleasant. What is the austerity? Not so much fasting. We don't do so much fasting and difficult taking uncomfortable things. Actually, it's all very comfortable and pleasant, our practice. But it's considered austerity. There's some austerity there that we do have to control ourselves and make ourselves do these things. And then we will go to Krishna. Mam upaishasi. Vimukto mam upaishasi. We will go to Krishna this way. So we were talking before about Koloka and how we have to be captivated by hearing about Krishna's abode. So those of you who are here, you've already become captivated. And now we're going out to tell others and bring this news to others. And we'll, in this way, we will assure our place there in Krishna's abode. Krishna's already waiting for us to come. It's already getting it ready for you to come back. So we just have to go and distribute books and focus on the Sankirtan Yajna. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.